Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we come to you today. We're asking you, oh God, for this moment in time that you have carved out for us, that we might be not only in your presence, but in your presence ready to hear, ready to receive, ready to walk in all that you have called and ordained and empowered us to be. Lord, I pray right now for the help of your Holy Spirit, that he would teach us, that he would open our ears to hear, that he would allow us to walk in all that you have ordained. And so, Father, for that end, I ask now for your empowerment. Stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my tongue. Cause us to hear truth that will transform us into the church you need us to be in this day, in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, hey, listen, for the last few weeks, I've been riding this same horse, this idea of being connected and at the same time being committed. And this is what I believe God is up to, what he's doing in the church at large, and specifically what he wants to do in our church. And I've been dealing with, from the book of Acts, I've been dealing with this idea of the church that gathered, the visible expression of the church, and the church scattered, those who were virtual extensions of the church, who, because of, for safety reasons, made decisions not to come back to the gathering of the church at Jerusalem. And I think that analogy fits very well with where we are and where we're going to be for the next few weeks, next few months, and next few years as the church at large, but even here at the Refuge Church. And we've been talking through and dealing with and struggling with, why would God allow these two different entities that would have seemed to cause division in the body of Christ? Why would he cause this? And last week we talked about it and we nailed it down, that I believe that God is up to putting the power back in the pew. He doesn't want to use just what's happening in the pulpit and with the preachers and the popes and the potentates. He wants to use regular people to carry out the mission of making disciples for Jesus Christ in both the virtual expression and the visible expression. And so I want to continue that with purpose and power in the pew, part two. We looked at last week, those who were scattered, the virtual extension of the church, they had to make a commitment in the book of Acts to the ministry of personal responsibility. They had to personally take on what it meant to be the church and to have the call of Jesus Christ to go and make disciples that we dealt with, that had to mean they had to learn how to interact creatively and find new avenues and new ways to connect people to the gospel. We talked about they had to have intentional conversations, that they had to be involved in person-to-person pre-evangelism and evangelism and discipleship, that they couldn't wait on a church program. They had to be it. They had to be the church. And we talked about that in their need for intentional intentional connectivity, that they had to intentionally connect with the gathered church or the visible expression, that even as they did it financially, they needed to keep that in mind, that as people were raised up in Christ, that they connected them back to the visible expression. Because I want you to see, I want you to learn, if you don't get anything from last week, I pray that you'll remember that if you're going to keep your distance because of safety reasons, you're going to have to commit to different ways of connecting to a deeper kind of church. Listen, you have to commit to different ways of connecting with a deeper kind of church. If that's the decision that God has you make, that's fine. He has no problem with that. But recognize that you as the church and the visible expression of that, it's going to be different, and you have to commit to being connected with that kind of new church. Now, today I want to deal with, first of all, I want to show you three scenes from the story of the gathered group, the church in Jerusalem, the visible expression, if you will, of the church. And then these three vignettes that I want us to see, I believe that they point out and reveal what God wants to help us be with the power that he is returning to us as this church. The first one I want you to see in Acts chapter 8, verse 2 from the New Living Translation. Remember, persecution breaks out. Stephen is killed, and the Bible says some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning, with great mourning. That's the first vignette I want you to see. I want you to see that this gathered church, the first thing that they had to deal with their commitment to stay gathered, to be the visible expression, it came with some grief. The next vignette I want you to see is in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. We've seen in Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 4, we see all of these stories about what's happening with the church scattered. But now in Acts chapter 9, verse 26, we come back to the church gathered. And the Bible says, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly of the name of Jesus in Damascus. I want you to see the next vignette. Here's the church at Jerusalem now, and they have to deal with the one who has connected with the virtual expression now being sent back to the visible expression. And what are they supposed to do? How do they react? The third vignette I want you to see is in Acts chapter 11, verse 28, Acts 11, verse 28. This group of, where it's dealing with the scene of Antioch in Syria, in modern day Syria. There's this church that started there by those who were scattered. And this group of believers, the group of prophets come up from Jerusalem to Antioch, and they're ministering and encouraging them, prophesying. And the Bible says in verse 28 that Agabus stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. All this was fulfilled during the reign of Emperor Claudius. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, giving as much as they could. This they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. Now I'm going to explain this in a minute, but I want you to see that the church in Jerusalem, these were believers were poor, because remember, as a Jewish person, it was a mainly Jewish church. When a Jewish person came to faith in Christ, the Jewish culture considered them to be believing in a false Messiah. And so they literally cut them off. Some families, even to this day, Orthodox families, when somebody converts, they have an actual funeral with an actual casket. That family member is dead to them. People don't go to their businesses. People don't support them in the things that they do anymore. So the church in Jerusalem, this gathered visible expression, was not only a poor church, because you see that in Acts chapter 6, they had to help with the distribution of food to the widows, but now this predicted that a famine is coming, and the church at Jerusalem has to be ready to minister to its community, and the church scattered helps them minister to their community. Now watch this. I want you to see these three vignettes, because we're focusing on the visible expression, the people who gather for in-person worship. And if you're going to do that at Refuge or at any church, you will have to connect with a deeper commitment to a different style of church, We're not going back to what church used to be when we gather. We're going back to a different style of church, and you're going to have to connect in your mind and in your emotions to a deeper commitment to whatever this different style is going to be. Watch this. The visible expression had to commit to the ministry of purposeful reconciliation. Purposeful reconciliation. Well, what does that mean? Well, remember, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right around verse 14, all the way through the end of that chapter, Paul reminds us that we have been called to the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to see some of those things from it. He says in verse 14 that it's the love of Christ that compels us, because he loves us, that love forces us. And in verse 15, he says what it forces us to do is that those who live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh, not according to who they are, what they look like, or what they present like. Because in verse 17, he says, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, verse 18, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And here it is, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. If we're going to be the visible expression of Jesus Christ, the different style of church that we're going back to, it has to be one of purposeful reconciliation. That means we're going to have to figure out how to make sure people are not only reconciled to Christ, but people are reconciled to each other, that people are brought into this experience of being a new creation, which means we can't carry old stuff into new kinds and new styles of church. Notice this, that the first thing I want you to see from those three vignettes. The first one was, remember, the devout men came and they buried Stephen, the Bible says, with great mourning. The visible expression of the church as we go forward and as we get back to in-person gathering in worship, if you're going to do that, you have to commit to work through issues of grief and loss. It's this loss of Stephen, that the saints are being locked up by Saul. They lost people who chose to scatter. The church that will gather again, and be that visible expression, is going to have to deal with and reconcile with loss and change and find God's purpose in it all. Because we're not going back to what church was, we're moving forward into what church is becoming by the grace of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit, and some things will feel different. Some things will be different. You'll lose some things that you thought you needed to worship God. And so if you're going to commit to that gathering, you have to be ready to deal with the change, and you have to learn to reconcile with, this is God's doing, and this isn't bad that it's like this. This is just what God is up to now. Not only that, but I want you to see that in that second vignette, that he says that Saul has now come to faith in Jesus Christ. He's connected with the scattered group up in Damascus. Some stuff jumps off and they send him back to Jerusalem. And the Bible says that when Saul arrives in Jerusalem, he tries to meet with the believers, but they're all afraid of him. Nobody's giving him a chance to be a new creation. That they judged him in his flesh of who he was and not who he was becoming. Watch this. The gathered church, this visible expression, if we're going to get back to in-person gathering for worship, and you're going to be one of those, you're going to have to work real hard to remove barriers for new people who want to connect with us. You got to work real hard at going through and working through whatever trust issues you may have, or what sometimes happens is this self-protectiveness. We've been isolated from each other so long that if we get back around each other, we're going to turn that energy of isolation into insulation. We're going to try to protect us from new people who aren't us. But God is still in the saving business. God is still going to use the scattered church to bring people to faith. God is going to use us as the gathered expression to connect with people and to invite them to church. And what happens if God is doing all this great work to bring them, but we're too mean-spirited, we're too untrusting, we're too driven by what we see and operating by what we see, that we don't allow and invite people to come in and be a part of us. Remember, Paul has said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 15 through 16 that we don't regard anyone according to the flesh, that we don't see people who they used to be before they came to us, but we are in the ministry of reconciling people to God, which means we've got to give them a chance to change and adjust and become who he wants them to be. Gathering believers, the visible expression people, will have to stay open to God's purposes, who he sends, and practice the ministry of reconciliation to make sure they're connected back to faith in Jesus Christ and they are becoming these new creations that he's making them to be. Not only that, but from that last venue, remember the story, this prophet named Agabus stands up and he prophesies by the Spirit that there's going to be this great famine. And so the scattered believers there in Antioch, they decided to send some financial help to relieve the burden of the brothers and sisters back in Jerusalem. If we're going to go back to gathering, we have to be able to provide the ministry of reconciliation to the community. Remember that we've been called to the ministry of reconciliation, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, that we have to be ready to be mobilized to minister and to serve to the needs in our community because the love of Christ compels us, because of what he's done in us, because of how he's made us new creations, that we have to become purveyors of that same reconciliation to whatever is happening in the streets. That if we're going to go back to being gathered together for worship, to be the visible expression, watch this, church can't be about us and what we get, but about who we are mobilized to reach and to relieve and reconcile to Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm fully convinced that God is seeking to redefine what it means to be a church member. for refuge. He's redefining what it means to have a role as a partner. And as we're working toward looking to open back up for public worship, we have to figure out how to pivot. Whether I'm a virtual extension or whether I'm a visible expression person, I need to figure out how to pivot toward what I'm called to be so that we can be a unified church, both as visible expressions and virtual extensions, and yet have the same vision and vibe and vocation. We have to know what we have to be in order to grow into this new church that he's developing. We're the same old church, but we're going to be a new church, different styles, different ways, different means. And it's going to have to be more about reconciling people to Jesus Christ. Whether I'm doing that as a virtual extension, whether I'm doing that as a part of the visible expression, I've got to have the power of God in me to connect with people and to see them reconciled. Getting my stuff and my issues and the old way of doing things out of the way and being open to what God is up to next. Can I pray for us? Father, we recognize that you're up to something great, and we want to be a part of what it is that you're doing, but we recognize that you got to do a work in us. And so, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you would begin preparing us on the inside for what it needs to look like on the outside. Whether we are virtual extensions or visible expression people, you give us the wisdom to make those decisions, but let us all be about the business of and about the ministry of reconciliation. So, Lord, I pray for where you're taking us. I pray for this journey that you have us on, and I pray that you would be fully engaged and that we would be fully submitted to all that you're up to so that Jesus can look good, that the ministry of the church can continue, that new disciples will be won and made and molded, because we have been faithful to allow you to mold us into the kind of committed and connected people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.